Well, good evening, everybody. Welcome to our House of Representatives call. Today is Tuesday, October 3rd, 2023. Glad that you're all here tonight. Dr. Mosley is traveling this evening, so he will not be with us, but I do have a recording all prepared that we will go ahead and play tonight in his absence. So before we get started tonight, does somebody want to open us up in prayer this evening? Well, if not, I'll go ahead and do that. Father, thank you for letting us all get together tonight in the House of Representatives in your republic, and just bless this call tonight. Bless Dr. Mosley as he's traveling, and bless everybody on the call as well as we continue to learn about the laws of life and what you want us to do in your republic as well. And we just praise you and thank you tonight in Yeshua's name.
Amen.
All right. Very good. Before we get going tonight, I'm going to go ahead and quickly run through the roll. Starting off with myself, Representative Rockwell is present. Representative Reed.
Representative Doug Reed from Nebraska, the Free State of Nebraska, is present. Thank you.
All right. Thank you much. Representative Schmidt.
Representative David Schmidt from Wisconsin Free State is present.
All right. Representative Binder. I don't have you muted on this side, but I do see you. Well, let's go on to Representative Cox. Are you with us tonight? All right, even though Representative Binder didn't comment, I can see him on the board, and I did talk with him before the call, so I'm going to mark him as present, and hopefully he can get what he's got fixed here pretty quick. So that brings us to four representatives representing four states tonight, and as I said, Dr. Mosley is traveling this evening, so I've got a rather short recording of his to play, just about 10 minutes long, and we can discuss that afterwards or whatever you'd like to do. So here is Dr. Mosley.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. The Laws of Life teaching series, and as most of you know, that we define a law of life as being an absolute divine truth that governs the consequences of our actions, that everything that we do and everything that we say activates one or more laws of life, either in a positive or in a negative way. In order to refer to a law of life as being such, We have to begin in the book of Genesis, tracing that law of life throughout the New Testament, into and throughout the New Testament, hundreds of scriptures coming together to establish that one law of life. We've shared with you numerous laws of life over these months, and this evening, very briefly, we want to share with you from the law, not the concept, not the precept, not even the principle, but the law of completion. The law of completion. We're going to give you two scriptural references, both being from the Old Testament. Oftentimes we give you at least one from the Old and one from the New. But the evening we will share two Old Testament scriptures regarding this law of completion. Job 23:14. For he performs the thing that is appointed for me. I'm going to read that again. He, referring to Father God, performs the things that are appointed for me, and many such things are with him. And we do have one New Testament scripture to go along with that I want to share with you, Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He which hath begun a good work in you will, that's an absolute, perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. The law of completion. And most of us are familiar with the account in the Bible dealing with the life of Job, but we're going to emphasize in this brief teaching Job's life and the law of completion as it related to his life and as that law of completion relate to our lives. The Bible says that Job was a perfect and an upright man. He feared God. He eschewed evil. He had 10 children. He had sheep and camels and yoke of oxen, she asses. And he was considered to be the greatest man of the East. Young men, when they saw Job, hid themselves. And the old men arose and stood up. Can you imagine such respect that the young men from Job would enter a room? They would stand up just because of the wisdom and the character that Job had and the history of his life up to that time. They stood up in respect for Job. And the old man arose and stood up. No, the young men hid themselves. They didn't feel they were worthy to be in his presence. And the older men or the aged men arose and stood up when Job came into the room. Unto Job, men gave ear and waited and kept silence at his counsel. In other words, when Job came in the room, everybody got quiet, kept silence, and listened to Job's counsel. Now, continuing with the early years of Job, we all know that Job received much favor from Father God. But there came a time that Job was challenged. There came a day when God allowed Satan to have access to Job by removing the hedge of protection that God had around Job. And as a result, Job lost all of his servants, all of his cattle, sons and daughters. But in response to this tremendous loss, Job said, naked I came into this world, and naked will I go out. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, Job, of course, said this with a confidence. And also, I perceive that Job said it with the confidence and knowing that whatever God had assigned for him to do, that God was going to complete it. Then Job was smitten with sore boils, had to scrape himself with a potsherd, and sat down in ashes. Job went on to say, all my inward friends abhor me, and they whom I love are turned against. All of his friends turned against him. But Job knew that God was going to complete what he called him to do. The young children who had admired Job in the past, despised him and spake against him. His kinfolk failed him, and his familiar friends forgot all about him. Even Job's wife asked him, are you still maintaining your integrity? Why don't you curse God and die? And we know how Job responded to that. Job said, even to his wife, you sound like a foolish woman. What shall we receive, good and not evil, from God? There came another time when Job's friends came to comfort him, and they sat and listened to Job for 7 years, and then they began to accuse Job of wrongdoing or some hidden sin. In other words, they said to Job, in order for you to be receiving the kind of harvest that you're getting, that you must have planted some bad seed, I suggest to you that those friends understood the law of sowing and reaping. And they couldn't understand how Job could be going through what he was going through unless he had planted some negative seeds. But Job's friends, some of his friends, came and sat with Job. And God told them to bring a burnt offering to Job, and Job was commanded to pray for his friends. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends under the law of captivity, deliverance, and restoration. And that's the law of life we shared some time ago. God gave Job twice as much as he had before. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. Job received, as some of us have heard, double for his trouble. And his latter day was better than his former day. And I share this account, which I've gone over very briefly with you, from the point of view. And I don't know what God has started in the lives of those of us who are on this call. But I do know that if God started it, and if you have a notice under the law of notice and warning, and confirmation under the law of notice and warning, that God has given certain assignments to you, he is and he will complete it. And that's a confidence. That's an assurance that we can have. And I say that just based upon personal experience, that I know that there are some things that God has assigned to me. I know that some promises have been made as it relates to the Laws of Life teaching series, Laws of Life Court TV, and everything else that pertains to the Laws of Life that God has assigned to me. I know. At 77 years of age, I know that he is going to perform, he is going to complete every aspect, every component of those assignments as long as I hold to my faith. With that, Mr. Speaker, I yield.
Well, thank you, Dr. Mosley, for that. Does anybody have any comments about what he had to speak about tonight, about Job and the scriptures or anything in that pertains to what he spoke about tonight?
This is Representative Mark Binder. Can you hear me?
Yep, we can hear you now.
Awesome. Sorry about that. I am present, by the way. I could not speak for some reason. My communications were cut off. So, anyway, that's a great teaching about Job, and it all goes to show you that the three friends that he had, they were telling him that he must have done something wrong, you know, to make God angry and this, that, and the other. Anyway, at the end, God tells Job, "Job, stand up, gird yourself, and, you know, and stand up like a man." And basically his friends weren't really any help to him other than putting doubt in his mind. Even the last one, who seemed to be the wisest one, really was just not really helping them out either. And so it's a great teaching, something we could all learn from. And I thank Dr. Mosley for that, and I yield. Thank you.
All right, thank you. I think it's interesting at the end of all that, after he's gotten the information from his friends, from his wife, God has him pray for his friends, not the other way around. That shows the character that Job had and what God believed in him as far as what there and who he was in his character. So I thought that would be rather interesting. Anybody else?
Yeah, this is Representative David Schmidt. Trying to think, let's see, I think I haven't read Job in quite a while, but I think I remember, I think was it Elihu? When his three friends were done trying to bring them down and everything else, and they left that there. Wasn't it Elihu that helped bring Job back, you know, help? I think he was the one that intervened, I think, if I remember right, and with that, a yield. If
yeah,
somebody can answer that. You know, like that. Yeah, yeah.
I can't remember that either. I don't know if any of the other two can shed some light on that. If so, I'll go and yield. All right. Anybody else have any comments to make? All right. If not, does anybody have any closing comments for tonight?
This is Representative David Schmidt requesting the floor, please.
Yes, you have the floor.
I was wondering, did you get my email here within the last week? This originally this is something from the judicial call.
I don't think I did. Let me go back and look real quick. But I don't. I get tons of emails all the time, but I don't. I don't remember anything from you. And usually, from people, if you want to send it to me again, that would be fine.
Okay, well, I'll just kind of touch upon it here real quick. But in any event, on the judicial call that there, Justice Waters had put together a presentation called Territory West of the Ohio River. It was basically on the Northwest Ordinance, and it focuses on the process of establishing the territory of Ohio. And there are some interesting notes on that and how this process was done. And I think the reason it's significant because right now, way it is right now, our status right now is basically, if this is correct here, is all that there. Basically, the free states are basically until they get their qualified officers in place and everything else are basically territories in the Republic until they get that process completed. And that's why I brought that to your attention.
Yeah, I had an email about the Northwest Territories. Is that what you were talking about?
Yep, that's what I'm talking about.
Okay,
and
yeah, I did get it and downloaded a document you had on it as well and scanned it. So, appreciate that.
Okay. I thought I would bring that to your attention. I think President Geiger, was hand-in-hand in informing Justice Waters about this. And with that, a yield.
All right. Thank you. Yeah, I'll give it some more attention when I get a chance here. Anybody else with some closing comments tonight?
This is Representative Mark Finder. May I have the floor?
Yes, you have the floor.
Thank you. If you wanted to read what Elihu said in the book of Job here, it begins about on chapter 33, and it goes through and it goes through. But in my understanding of it, he didn't really help Job. He just explained a lot of things and used fanciful language and stuff. And it's really God that opened up his eyes towards the end. That would be on chapter 38, a couple of verses. It says, "Then the Lord answered Job from the whirlwind, 'Why are you using your ignorance to not deny my providence? Get ready to fight, for I'm going to demand some answers from you, and you must reply. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you know so much. Do you know how its dimensions were determined and who did the surveying?'" And then it goes on and on and on and on. And the lesson from that really is don't put God in a box. He has a lot more capability than we could probably even imagine. So always expect the unexpected and hope for the best. And I yield. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. Anybody else have any closing comments? right. If not, I would definitely entertain a motion for us to adjourn tonight, if somebody would like to do that.
As is Representative David Schmidt making the motion to adjourn until Tuesday, October 17th at 8 p.m. Central Time. Without a yield.
Doug Reed, second.
All right, we've got a motion on the floor to adjourn tonight and reconvene in a couple of weeks, and it's also been seconded. All in favor say aye.
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 And is there anybody opposed? All right, we'll go ahead and stand adjourned for tonight. And before we go, does somebody want to close us in prayer?
This is Representative Mark Biner. I'd be happy to do that.
All right, you have the floor.
Thank you. Our Father in heaven, we give thanks to you for the love that you have poured out upon America. There are so many people here who have shown support to make America great again in so many ways. There are so many self-evident truths being discovered and shared that our awakened citizenry is being impacted exponentially, and the sleeping giant is awakening. Gone by the wayside are the lies and the grand illusion of fantasy the globalists have used to keep Americans passive. Because once we learn the truth, there's no going back. So thank you, Father, for shining light in every dark corner of deception so that you can begin to heal this land. We pray that there will be justice throughout the nation and every courtroom lie is exposed as cannon fodder to explode in the face of the imposters of truth. Strengthen us, O Father, as we charge forward to the enemy and reestablish our constitutional rule of law, righteous, God-revering republic governance. We pray for the safety of our presidents, their families, and their friends, Heavenly Father. We pray for the safety of our families, our friends as well. And we ask for that double protection on us, our family, and our friends that the enemy cannot penetrate through, and an angelic hedge of protection around us. Heavenly Father, as we go through these interesting times, let us unite together to get through this period so that we can continue on to greater matters. So God save the Republic, God save the children, God save America, Canada, and the nation of Israel. In Jesus' name we ask for your mercy on all matters, Father. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen.
Yes. All right. Blessings, everybody, and we'll catch you in a couple weeks.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.